Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Mystic Podcast, a Vampire Diaries rewatch podcast. I'm your host, Lucy, and today we will be doing a brief wrap-up of Season 1 of The Vampire Diaries. We took a one-week break because we finished the whole of Season 1 of The Vampire Diaries, and from today we're going to have a few bonus episodes for about a month where we wrap up various areas of Season 1. So today is basically an overall brief wrap-up of the whole season, my thoughts in general, and ranking my favorite episodes and moments. We do have a few podcast updates. May have mentioned last time, but we are now available on Amazon Podcasts as well. So as of this moment, we are available on Spotify, Apple, and Amazon. And also, I also received a notification that our podcast was included in an article which was listing the top 10 Vampire Diaries themed podcasts, and we were ranked at number 8. So yeah, I really appreciate being mentioned in this article. It really has motivated me to continue on with this podcast. I've also reached out to some people through the Reddit community, the Vampire Diaries community on Reddit. We are also super close to 400 downloads, so thank you so much to everyone who has been tuning in so far. So as I said, today we are just wrapping up Season 1, wrapping up my overall thoughts, so it's probably going to be a short episode, maybe around 30 minutes long. And Season 1 of The Vampire Diaries, like, no matter how many times I rewatch it, I never get bored, and although I wouldn't say it's the most drama-packed season, it's a season that holds a special place in my heart, and I think for other TVD rewatchers, you know, no matter how good like the other seasons are, some seasons there's like top tier seasons, Season 1 is just really special for us because it's what started the whole fandom, it's what started the whole story, it's what led to all of these spin-offs that we now have. It's nostalgic in two ways. It's nostalgic because it's the beginning of season, it's beginning of the whole series, the whole entire franchise, but it's also nostalgic to an era that holds a special place too in my heart, because I mean, I do say in many episodes how that era of CW, it just feels really special to me. I mean, I didn't watch The Vampire Diaries in real time, but I knew about the show, and I was more of a Gossip Girl person back then, but it just reminds me of my childhood, brings back sweet memories, childhood memories, and I think there's always that kind of era, like, no matter how old you are, we always have probably a generation or, like, an era that is special to us, like our childhood slash teen years. And that's why going on, like in many years to come, I think that this generation of TV will still feel really special to me. Season 1, I'd say it began like very high school drama-ish. It wasn't supernatural at all. And then a few episodes in, I'd say from about episode 6, episode 7, that's where we really got introduced to the whole supernatural aspect of the show. And compared to other seasons, this is a very tame version. This is a very tame plotline, I'd say. Without revealing any spoilers, of course, because I do have first-time watchers here. Season 1, it's still very soft, the storylines. We're introduced to the vampires. We only got to see a glimpse of magic from Bonnie and Grams, but in future series, I think I said before, in future series, the witches have huger plot lines, we're introduced to more witches, and we're introduced to other supernatural creatures as well. Because it is The Vampire Diaries, unlike Supernatural, which is obviously a very popular TV series, Vampire Diaries is very much focused around the vampires, so that won't change. The vampires will always be the main characters, but we have other, let's say, antagonists or creatures that we meet along the way. So there's three chapters basically in Season 1. So the first chapter is the Vicky chapter, the second chapter is the Tomb chapter, and then the third is the Lineage chapter. So let's briefly kind of summarize what happens in each chapter, and I'll also say my thoughts. So the first chapter is the Vicky chapter, which begins from the pilot episode, episode 1, up until episode 7. And in this chapter, we are basically introduced to all of the main characters. We are introduced to the three best friends, Elena, Bonnie, and Caroline. We introduced Matt and Tyler. Matt is Elena's childhood friend, also recent ex-boyfriend. Tyler isn't really sort of a main character throughout season one. We also introduced Vicky. So Vicky is Matt's older sister who has some problems with drugs. She seems very troubled, but It also probably is because of Vicky and Matt's upbringing. So their dad is absent and their mom is pretty much absent too and just leaves them to fend for themselves whenever she has a new boyfriend. Jeremy is Elena's younger brother. He's also recently developed a drug problem and he deals drugs. And it's from the pain and hurt that he's feeling from his parents' death that he's sort of gone down this wrong path. We start the pilot episode in September, I'm guessing it's a new school year. In the summer break, Elena and Jeremy lose their parents in a horrific car accident. And so Jenna, the older sister of Elena and Jeremy's mom, is left to be their legal guardian. And meanwhile, we are also introduced to the two Salvatore brothers, Stefan and Damon. And we soon learn that they are vampires, that Mystic Falls has been their home for years, and they regularly come back home. In the first chapter, there's a lot of tension between Stefan and Damon. They haven't seen each other for years. They both hold grudges against each other. And even though they're both vampires, we see a very different personality between Stefan and Damon. Stefan only drinks animal blood. He seems to have compassion and really feel for humans, whereas Damon, on the other hand, he treats humans like real-life blood bags. He doesn't care about them. He supposedly has his humanity off, but we do find out that he doesn't. And of course, as this is called the Vicky chapter, it's very much set around Vicky. Vicky is used as a way to show the whole process of a human being turned into a vampire and then a vampire being staked. So she's pretty much used as an example, basically. And I did read in one of the interviews that apparently when everyone signed on for the contract for season one, the actress Kayla, she didn't know that she would be killed off. And so it was a very sudden decision. But I think that Vicky's death was used as a way to show that this isn't the kind of series where they'll save your favorite characters. They won't be hesitant in killing main characters off. And I think that's how, you know, Vicky was sort of used as an example. In this chapter, Damon is very much the antagonist of the chapter, and Stefan and Elena are immediately drawn to each other from the pilot episode, and so they start dating. But of course, Elena finds out about Stefan's secret. She learns about the world of vampires, and so in this chapter, we really see an evolution, because it starts off as a regular high school drama, but by the end of episode 7, it's really changed its theme. So that's why whenever I see reviews or some people say that they watched Vampire Diaries a few episodes and didn't like it, I really think it's because the first few episodes, it's so different to what the show does become. And so that's why I always suggest, if you're a new first-time watcher watching The Vampire Diaries, just give the show a good 5 or 6 episodes, because then you really see if you enjoy it or not. Because up until episode 5, we don't get much drama and vampires. But I think from episode 6, when Elena finds out that Stefan is a vampire, Stefan reveals Elena about his past, we get the first appearance of Catherine. I think that episode would really get people hooked on the show. Favorite moments of this chapter is obviously episode 6, when we first see Catherine. Catherine is very much an antagonist, but just seeing, it's such an epic appearance. Like, the whole mystery around Catherine in season 1 is really what gets you hooked, and that's why when we have the cliffhanger and Catherine returning, it only makes you want to watch the next season more. And other favorite moments, I think just the pilot episode in general, like how it's so different to the actual show. And the pilot itself was even filmed in Canada. It wasn't even filmed in Covington, Georgia. It's just nostalgic, and no matter how many times I watched a pilot, I never get bored of it. It always gives me like this nostalgic, heartwarming feeling. Even though the characters have lots of sadness and troubles around them, they look way more positive than they do by the end of the show, because they go through a lot. This Mystic Falls gang, they go through a lot, each and every one of them. So for me, it's a nostalgic chapter overall, and I don't think there's any chapters I dislike of The Vampire Diaries. I mean, there's some plots or characters that I dislike, but there isn't a season that I absolutely hate. But there are seasons that are lacking in storyline compared to others. So moving on, the second chapter is the tomb chapter. The tomb chapter starts from episode 8 and it ends at episode 14. And as the chapter says, it's literally about the tomb and how Damon and a later on introduced character Anna wants to open up the tomb. So we start with episode 8 where we get an appearance from Lexi. And Lexi is very much a fan favorite from fans of the show. But unfortunately, she only lasts for one episode. So Damon has a master plan, basically. He's trying to get along with the Founders Council to get as much information as possible. But at the same time, the whole reason he came back to Mystic Falls was to open up the tomb. So basically, Emily Bennett, who is Bonnie Bennett's ancestor, told him about this tomb and how the vampires are sleeping down there. They're desiccated, so they're technically not dead. And Damon believes that Catherine is inside this tomb and wants to get her out. And Stefan, of course, when he finds this out, he's very much against it because he doesn't want the other tomb vampires getting out as well. Because obviously, if they've been put down there desiccating for decades, they are obviously wanting to get revenge on the town. And Stefan is very much at peace. He wants to keep peace in the town. He's happy with Elena. And then he agrees that Damon can just take Catherine out as long as they both leave town. So at this point, we all think that Catherine is still alive. We think that she's stuck in the tomb down there. And in this tomb chapter, we get to learn more about 1864. We get to meet other characters, some founding family members, some tomb vampires. We meet Anna. We also get to see more magic in this chapter. So the first few episodes of season one, the cast all kind of joke around. They say that Bonnie is, you know, a psychic. She doesn't really take her magic seriously, but from her getting closer with her grandma, learning more about her lineage, learning more about magic, we see some hardcore magic. And I'd say that from this tomb chapter, it really becomes a non-high school drama. I mean, obviously, the cast, they're still in high school. The characters, they're still in high school, but it's not revolved around high school drama anymore. It really is tied in with supernatural elements. And the episode 14, the end of the tomb chapter, we end on a cliffhanger. So basically, first of all, we have a tragic death. Grams dies from using too much magic. Secondly, the huge bombshell is that Catherine isn't even in the tomb. So Anna successfully gets her mother out, which is Pearl. But Damon looks everywhere only to find that Catherine is gone. And it's later revealed by Pearl that Catherine knew where Damon and Stefan was, but she didn't come back for them. She's been alive this whole time. She's gone somewhere. She wasn't in the tomb to begin with. We really see a shift in Damon from there, because up until now, Damon's sole mission as a vampire since the moment he turned was to get Catherine and to be reunited with her, his first true love. But from this, we really see a shift in his feelings. He carries a sort of hatred towards her, but Damon starts to get to know Elena more and really starts to fall in love with her. And the cliffhanger, another cliffhanger we end with, is from Damon's anger when he throws the blood bag in the tomb walls. Some of the tomb vampires manage to get a hold of that blood and we see them escape, and that's the end of the chapter. Then there was a sort of hiatus and we start the final chapter. So the final chapter is the longest. It's called the lineage chapter. And this was from episode 15 up until the season finale, episode 22. So obviously, as the word lineage says, this chapter really revolves around families. The founding families, the history of the town, plot line with current events that they have an upcoming Founders Day celebration, and that's why we see so many events from the pilot episode to the season finale leading up to this day. And so it all ties in, basically, the current founding families and the past 1864 Mystic Falls. So for Elena, we learn some facts about Elena. We first of all learn out that she was actually adopted, and so she is technically still related to Jeremy, their cousins, but her real father is John Gilbert, who she thought was her uncle. And her mother is Isabel, and Isabel was once Alaric's wife who disappeared, and the reason why she disappeared was because she wanted to be a vampire. So John introduced her to Damon, and Damon was the one who turned Isabel. Also, as Elena sees the portrait of Catherine and sees the resemblance, it's assumed that somewhere along the lines, Catherine must have had a child or someone in Catherine's family had a child, and therefore this doppelganger was born. So in some ways, Elena, Isabel and Catherine are all related to each other. But we don't know the history behind Catherine yet, as that is something that we find out in season two. We also find out more about the history of the Gilberts and their ties with Pearl and Anna. So it's very much a resemblance to 1864. So in present day, we see Jeremy and Anna sort of develop a relationship. Meanwhile, it really feels like history is repeating itself, and that's why Pearl is against it, because back in 1864, Pearl and Jonathan Gilbert sort of had a finger going on. She trusted him, but in the very last moment, he betrayed. He was the one who caused her to be locked up in the tomb, and ironically enough, both Pearl and Anna are staked by John Gilbert in present day. So really, Pearl and Anna just don't have any luck when it comes to the Gilbert men. We also find out more history of Damon and Stefan. We find out how exactly they became vampires, and we find out the broken relationship between Giuseppe, their father, and them. So Giuseppe never seemed to really like Damon. The reason why is because he deserted the Civil War. And so Giuseppe was maybe embarrassed by him, because back then that was a big thing, you know, deserting a war, being labeled a deserter. And Giuseppe seemed to favor Stefan, but at the same time, he knew that Stefan was naive, and it was from Stefan that he suspected that Catherine could be a vampire. Tragically, you know, Giuseppe couldn't get over his beliefs, so he was the one that actually pulled the trigger and killed both of his sons, because he couldn't accept the fact that they were aligning with a vampire. So Damon and Stefan were shot, but they had blood inside them. Catherine was feeding them blood every day. Damon fed on the blood, fed on her blood knowingly, whereas Stefan was compelled to. And tragically, Stefan goes back to see his father to say goodbye, because he's planning on not transitioning. They sort of have a fight. Giuseppe is bleeding. Stefan can't control himself. He feeds. So he kills his own father to turn into a vampire. But because he can't handle the fact of being alone and he doesn't want to be separated from Damon, he practically forces Damon to become a vampire. So by the end of the series, we can kind of see the dynamic as to why Damon promised Stefan an eternity of misery. It's because it wasn't his choice to be a vampire in the first place. But in vampire life, we really see Damon embracing his vampire life, whereas Stefan struggles. So ironically, even though Stefan was the one that led Damon into this life, Damon is the one who is embracing the vampire life better, I would say. And we also see Damon as being the antagonist in present day. He's the one that feeds on humans, that can kill people without remorse. But actually, Stefan is the one that doesn't have much control. When he's on the human blood, we see him be a completely different character. He can't control himself. He can't drink in moderate amounts. So by the end of the season, we're really questioning, is Stefan really always the good guy? And is Damon really always the bad guy? Basically, they end this whole tomb vampire fiasco with the John Gilbert device, and the majority of tomb vampires are all set on fire like they were meant to in 1864. And of course, the cliffhanger of the season finale, which we talked about 2 weeks ago, was the mystery revolving Tyler and Richard Lockwood, because this device was supposed to only react, was only supposed to be reacted to by vampires, whereas Richard reacted to it. That's what led to his death. And Tyler had some supernatural eyes going on in the end of the episode. Also, the biggest cliffhanger, I'd say, which leads to season two, is the return of Catherine. And ironically enough, the next season, season two, the first chapter is actually the Catherine chapter. So we get to see more history behind Catherine. So that is basically my brief summary of the three chapters and what happens. I didn't really write much notes for this. This is just from the top of my head. So some things are kind of jumbled around, but you kind of get, you know, what happens in three chapters. I mean, obviously, if you've watched the whole season, you probably get, you know, the three chapters, but I just wanted to briefly explain them. So, yeah, my favorite chapter, if I was to choose a favorite chapter Oh my gosh, that's so difficult. I think I would choose, I'd actually choose the first chapter. I choose the Vicky chapter just because it introduced us to the characters and it just feels so fresh and new because it was the first chapter. But favorite episodes wise, I am going to talk about my favorite events later on. And it's not many episodes in the first chapter are actually in my favorites. So I wanted to basically name my top five episodes, but I couldn't narrow it down to five. So I'm going to talk about my top six episodes and the reasons why. I'm going to rank them from 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 1 being my best episode. So my sixth favorite episode for season 1 would have to be Bloodlines. So this was the episode where we get to see the road trip with Elena and Damon. And if you've listened to this podcast, you probably know by now that I'm a Delana shipper. So any Delana moments would automatically be my favorite. And therefore, that's why I'm putting this episode in. This was the first episode where we really got to see them getting along. Up until now, Elena didn't really like Damon, but she ended up saving his life in this episode when Lexi's ex-boyfriend, former boyfriend, came to kill Damon. And I just really love the banter between them. And this is an episode where I think some people may potentially could see, you know, could kind of ship Elena and Damon together. So leading into top five, my fifth favorite episode is the pilot episode. I put this in predominantly because it is the pilot. It's the first ever episode. I put it in for the nostalgia. I wouldn't say it's my favorite plot-wise. It's just in there because of the nostalgic feeling I get every time I watch it. And just because it's the beginning of one of my favorite series ever. And I really, some iconic moments for the pilot episode. I'd say the crow scene. The crow scene is iconic because we don't really see the crow appear in later on seasons. Also, the Hello Brother scene is an iconic scene. Stefan and Elena first meeting together. I enjoyed that. And I think Stefan saying you won't be sad forever, Elena. I think, yeah, he said that in the pilot episode. Some of these lines just really stick with you. And there is other lines as well that stick with me, but if I say that line, it reveals what will happen. So I'm not going to say anything more. So into the top four. So fourth favorite episode would have to be Fool Me Once. So this one was episode 14. It's the episode where the tomb gets opened. This was a really dramatic episode. The way they use the music at the end, Leona Lewis run and Graham's death, Damon realizing that Catherine wasn't in the tomb. Everything was so dramatic. It was a very emotional episode. Anne and Pearl getting to be reunited was really heartwarming. And Elena and Stefan convincing Damon to leave the tomb and to give up was a really heartbreaking moment as well. So lots of dramatic scenes. And Vampire Diaries really does this well. You know, they have this light comedy throughout the episodes, but they also do these really dark emotional scenes really well too. And they tend to end their episodes on that note. Like the end of the episodes, there tends to be an epic ballad or like an epic song and switching between different scenes of all the characters kind of going through something. So I just had to put that in there. And also because of the cliffhanger that it ends with the tomb vampires getting the blood and then one escaping the tomb. And the way they left that on a hiatus, like imagine watching that in real time. That would be torture having to wait. So onto the top three episodes. So these are like my all-time favorite episodes of the season. For number three, I put Lost Girls, which is season one, episode six. So this is the episode where Elena... So basically the prior episode, episode 5, Elena knocks at the Salvador house. She says, "What are you?" And then the start of this episode, Lost Girls, is Stefan saying, "You know," Stefan revealing to Elena that he's a vampire. And we get flashback scenes. We get our first ever flashback scenes of the show. The flashback scenes are a really big part of the Vampire Diaries because obviously if they're vampires, they've been alive for a long time. They have history, and we see that history throughout the series. It's the first appearance we get of Catherine. Catherine is one of the best villains of the show. She's a very popular villain slash character. Some people despise her, but some people actually really love her and really support her. And it's the episode where the supernatural element of the show really starts to kick off, because now Elena knows. And in the meantime, in present day, Vicky gets turned by Damon. So a lot happens in this episode. It's really jam-packed. And to be honest, it should be ranked at number 2. But the number 2 episode is a very biased one of mine, which I'll mention. So yeah, this episode, so much happens. And one iconic scene, I'd say, in this episode is probably the Damon and Vicky dance scene in Salvador House. That's a fan favorite moment as well. So for top 2 episodes, so for number 2, I put Miss Mystic Falls. Obviously, this is a very biased episode because plot-wise, I'd say Lost Girls is better. I only put this in because, of course, the Miss Mystic Falls dance between Damon and Elena is one of my favorite moments, not just of the season 1 actually, but all of the seasons combined. Like, this is one of my like top 10 moments, like it's in there. So that's why I had to put this at number 2. I love this dance, I love this song. Like, the road trip episode with Delana was good, but this is an episode where I feel that Elena kind of maybe senses something with Damon as well. And of course, in 2 episodes later, in the Isabel episode, you know, Isabel reveals that Damon is in love with her. So it's really like kicking off like the love triangle element, especially because in this episode, it's where Stefan is out of control. He's on the human blood. So Elena is starting to turn to Damon and trust him more. So I just had to put this in there because of that one specific dance. Really, really love that dance, that moment. And so my number 1 episode of the season is Founder's Day, the season finale. I think the majority of you guys, probably this would be your favorite episode as well. But obviously so much happened in the finale. They closed up the tomb vampire drama really well, but at the same time they led you with so many questions that we're wondering and we're anticipating the next season. And Vampire Diaries just does some really killer finales. Each finale is iconic. I don't think I could even rank them, but of course I will in the future. But, you know, they close up the tomb vampire drama. There was tragic death of Anna, but they led us with so much questions. For example, Jeremy, he attempted to kill himself by overdosing. He also drank Anna's blood, so is he going to be a vampire? John could be dead. The return of Catherine, obviously, and the Damon and Catherine slash Elena kiss. Love that moment. If you're a first-time watcher, I mean, even when I first watched the show, I genuinely thought that was Elena. But then finding out that that was Catherine, oh my gosh, like, just, it's so good. And the music is used really well. Just everything about the season finale, I love. So those are my top 6 episodes. But I'd say every episode was good. There was not one episode where I was so bored that I couldn't continue watching it. But those were my top 6 episodes. So let's take a look at IMDb and what the top 6 episodes are for according to IMDb rankings and compare them to mine. So that's my ranking of the favorite episodes. And let's take a look according to the IMDb rankings, what the average top 6 episodes are. So I found an article on screenrant.com and it said the top 10 episodes, but we're just going to skip it to look at from number 6. So at number 6, there's the episode The Turning Point. So if you remember, this is the episode where there was the whole Korea Night thing and Logan shows up. He's a vampire. Logan gets staked by Alaric at the end of the episode. Elena and Stefan sleep together for the first time and she spots the Catherine portrait, and that's when she has the car crash. So yeah, this one was a cliffhanger episode. I think it was episode 10 in the series, and it was a good episode, good cliffhanger, but for me it wouldn't be in my top 10. From a first-time watcher's point of view, I guess the whole cliffhanger aspect of Elena being in a car accident, I can acknowledge that it would be in, you know, a higher ranking. But for me as a rewatcher, it's not like my favorite episode of season 1, I'd say. So the next episode, number 5, fifth most popular episode of the season, was 162 Candles. This one, I can very much understand why it would be in the top 5, because this is the episode where we get to see Lexi. And as I said, Lexi is a fan favorite. She's one of the most popular like side characters or guest characters of the series, I would say. And it was a really fun episode all in all, and also had a very tragic ending, of course, seeing Lexi getting staked by none other than Damon. I really like this episode too, but at the same time, it's like, because I prioritized Delaina episodes, didn't fit it into my ranking, but I can understand why it would be in number 5. So the 4th episode was Lost Girls. So this, for me, I ranked Lost Girls number 3, so pretty similar ranking, but some comments, it did say this was the first really good episode of the series. It's the first episode that's centered around the whole supernatural aspect of the show, and this is the episode that probably got a lot of people hooked on the whole series. And at number 3, they had Fool Me Once. So basically similar ranking to mine. I ranked mine the other way around, but for this one, Fool Me Once was ranked higher. And this was, of course, the tomb episode, lots of drama there. One of the most dramatic episodes of the series, I think. And the next ranking, number 2, I was kind of surprised that this was ranked second best episode. This one is Let the Right One In. So I think this was episode 16 or 17, I'm guessing. Yeah, 17. And in the article, it mentioned how many people ranked this episode high because they enjoyed the Damon and Alaric partnership. So, of course, Damon and Alaric started out as enemies, but their duo is a very popular friendship duo, I'd say. They do become really good friends and they team up a lot. I mean, we see it at the end of season 1. They team up a lot to fight against bad vampires. I understand why people would like it, but at the same time, I'm kind of shocked that this is the second best episode. I mean, it was a good episode, though. That's the episode where they rescued Stefan, and Stefan got drinking human blood, and he fed on Elena's blood, but it wouldn't be in my top 5, I'd say, but maybe it's because it's a Stelaina episode. I don't know, but each to their own. So the number 1 episode is the same as mine. It was the Founders Day episode. I think the season finale was epic, dramatic. It has all the emotions, you know, funny, entertaining, dramatic, sad, mystery, cliffhanger. It has everything you'd want from a season finale, basically. So understandably, this one was ranked number 1. So for my other episodes, so in my top 6, I included the pilot episode, Miss Mystic Falls, and Bloodlines. Bloodlines was ranked number 10, so top 10 in ranking. I was so surprised to see that Miss Mystic Falls episode, episode 19, and the pilot, episode 1, wasn't in the top 10 ranking. I'd think that the pilot episode would be in the top 10 because it's the beginning of everything, but according to IMDb, that isn't the case. However, I'm in the Vampire Diaries community in Reddit. I look through the posts every day, practically, even though I don't really get involved that much. It appears that the Reddit fans have a more similar opinion to me, so I think IMDb is more like first-time watchers and critics, whereas Reddit is where the hardcore fans are at. And for the Reddit posts that I was looking through in the community tab, it appears that the pilot episode and the finale and Miss Mystic Falls were some fan favorites for season 1. So I think when you get to the rewatching point, it's like the pilot episode, it has that nostalgia. Of course, if you're a Delaina shipper, you'll know that Miss Mystic Falls has that really epic dance moment, which is basically a flashback that it's so many times throughout the series. It's not just a scene that we see once. I think I mentioned it in the actual episode, which we covered, of episode 19, but this dance is referred to verbally, and also you get to see visual flashbacks. So it's a really important scene in the Delaina storyline, and so yeah, that's why for me it was in the top 2, definitely. So, enough about IMDb rankings. I tried to look for trivia facts on season 1, but it appears that there's not much trivia facts overall of the whole entire series. So, every episode, you know, I read the trivia facts from IMDb and, like, Rotten Tomatoes and the Vampire Diaries Wiki, but there isn't trivia for overall season, so unfortunately we'll have to skip that. And the final thing I wanted to talk about today was events. So I wanted to talk about my favorite events that happen in season 1, because this show, I mean this town, they have a lot of small town events going on, and this isn't just because of the Founders Day. You'd think that we reached the Founders Day celebration, the finale. You'd think they'd end with these small town celebrations, but no. From next season to next season to next season, there's constantly some kind of dance, some kind of event going on. So this is probably going to be like an annual thing, or like we'll do this every time we end the season, ranking the events. So here is my personal top five events that happened in season one. And this isn't from a plot storyline, okay? So this isn't from a plot storyline. This is more from, if I was living in Mystic Falls, which events would I most be excited to go to? So this, we're going to remove the whole supernatural element from this, because in many of the events there are usually deaths or kidnappings. So let's pretend there's none of that, clean slate. Which events would I most likely want to attend? And here is my top five. So for the fifth top five, starting off number five, I have the Founders Day kickoff party. This one is in the top five because this is a really biased one. It's not about the actual event. It's more to do with the fact that I love the building, the Founders Hall. It was only used twice, I think, or two or three times in season one. I just want to go to a fancy party in that kind of building. So that's why it's at number five. So no particular reason for this one. From the top four, we have more specific reasons. So number four, we have the 50s decade dance. So the decade dances are always my favorites throughout the whole series, throughout the whole show. The decade dances tend to be the most drama-filled ones, plotline-wise, but just the whole concept in general of having these decade dances is something that I'm very interested in. Majority of the time I play the Vampire Diaries playlist, but other than that, I'm usually playing decade soundtracks, actually. So I don't really listen to modern music. I mean, I did at one point, but now I don't. I mean, I'll listen to a few songs here and there, but if I'm playing a soundtrack, I usually just play like Spotify playlists of like 50s music, 60s music. I like 80s music. I also love 90s music, 90s grunge and rock, but I love classic music as well. So yeah, very broad. But I've always wanted to go to a decade dance. I don't think I have attended a decade themed event, which I wish I had. You know, I wish I had these kind of events. In high school, we didn't have school dances. College, we didn't have it. And clubs only play like EDM, hip hop. There'd be like a decade dance or something going on. Interestingly, there's an 80s pop-up bar that recently opened. It's only open for a month. I think it's going to close in like 2 weeks or something. It opened up in Honolulu. And I was interested in it at first because it's like 80s themed, like the music and the interior. But keyword is bar. It's more of like drinking alcohol and listening to the music, and I don't drink alcohol anymore, so I kind of feel like I couldn't enjoy it. So I really wish there was some decade dance event going on in Hawaii. Maybe I should just start hosting. I'd love to host those kind of dances as well, like Vampire Diaries themed events, decade dances. So yeah, because I really want to attend one, I put the 50s decade dance at number four. And at number three, so we're in the top three now. Number three, I put the Founders Day celebration, just because it seems like a really huge event for the small... It just seemed like a really huge event for Mystic Falls. And it's an all-day event, so in the daytime you have those floats and everyone cheering on. It seems there was lots of like vendors and like mini food stands. Nighttime you have fireworks, so it seems like a really fun event. Seems like the event of the year, Mystic Falls. So how can you miss out on that, right? And then number two, we have the school Halloween party. So this was obviously in episode 7 when Vicky ironically dressed up as a vampire when she actually is one, and Bonnie dressed up as a witch when she also is actually one too. So I put this at number two because obviously if I love the Vampire Diaries, I automatically love Halloween, and I love dressing up for Halloween. I'm not the most sociable person, but still, when it comes to Halloween, I like dressing up and going out. And I think I don't know what their budget was, but they did a really good job at turning the school into like this haunted house kind of vibe. The neon lights, the music, it looked really, really fun. And when it comes to decade dances, I haven't got to experience in my lifetime as of yet. But when it comes to Halloween parties, I'd say I've experienced my fair share of Halloween events. In high school, my school was very, like, how would you say it? It was a very laid-back school. So in Japan, most schools are very strict. Most schools, you wear school uniform, unlike America. But my school, because it was an international school, we didn't have to wear school uniform. And on Halloween, everyone would literally just wear a Halloween costume all day. It was like a Halloween party at school, which I really enjoyed. So you'd literally have a whole class of students wearing Halloween costumes, like vampire costumes, witch costumes, Superman, Supergirl, like whatever, Superwoman, Superman. Literally, like, we'd all be wearing a Halloween costume taking class. So Halloween was a big event at school. And then during college as well, I celebrated Halloween. But the past 2 years since I came to Hawaii, the first year I walked around in Waikiki wearing a Halloween costume. But to be honest, it wasn't that good that year because it was the whole COVID year and not many people were there, not many tourists. I didn't really like it because we were just walking around and there wasn't even a parade. So that I will not do again. But last year's Halloween, I really enjoyed. I dressed up as Wednesday Addams because Wednesday was out on Netflix. And me and my partner, we went to a Halloween pop-up bar. And it was really nice. Like, the music was all Halloweenish. The atmosphere was Halloween. It was like a mini haunted house kind of vibe. Lots of good photo spots. So I really enjoyed Halloween last year. That was a really good one. And wow, like, we started this podcast in February, right? And now it's the day I'm recording this is the 25th of August. This is probably going to go up this Sunday, but we basically have like 1 month and 3 weeks until Halloween, which is crazy to think of. Like, every year just gets by quicker and quicker. I can't believe that it's gonna be September in like 5-6 days. It's mind-blowing and very scary that it goes by this quickly, because I went to Target yesterday and it was Halloween accessories, Halloween. They're putting up the Halloween display, so it's unbelievable how quick it is. But really looking forward to it. And you know, last year I dressed up as Wednesday because the Netflix show was out and I love the Addams family. I love Wednesday as a character as well. But my hair's too short to do Wednesday hair. And I'm probably just going to be a vampire again this year. So you'll get to see my annual vampire makeup over on Instagram and YouTube probably. So my number one event from season one, you can probably guess it by me talking about who I ship and what my favorite episodes were, but it's the Miss Mystic Falls pageant. Really loved the episode, but not just that. I guess I'm pretty cheesy. Like, I love those traditional, like, pageants and dances. I know it's not the most popular anymore, but I really enjoy those kind of things. So I love the Miss Mystic Falls dance, the whole dance where you don't touch your partner to begin with. It's like the near touch of intimacy is what Carol Lockwood would say. So I sometimes force my partner to do the Miss Mystic Falls dance with me. So we do it, but then we get interrupted by a Frenchie. So yeah, just the thought of like dressing up in a nice gown and attending a dance with an escort, I enjoy it. And I like those kind of classical dances, like Bridgerton vibes as well. So yeah, that is the number one event that I would love to attend. And this event reminds me of Cotillion in Gossip Girl. So as you know by now, that CW era is my TV era, and Gossip Girl is a show I was watching real time. I've watched Gossip Girl more times than The Vampire Diaries, actually. But because I stopped rewatching it for like over a year, some of the facts are kind of like, I don't remember every single fact straight off the bat anymore because I'm so obsessed with TVD now. But the Cotillion episodes in Gossip Girl are basically very drama filled. So we get this Miss Mystic Falls dance as an episode, I think, 3 times throughout the series. And for the cotillion too, in Gossip Girl, you have a cotillion-themed episode. We have, I think, 3 times, was it? Cotillion is very drama-filled. It reminds me of the Vampire Diaries. I guess because they're from the same era, they do have similar vibes to them. But yeah, both, I love those kind of dances. Like, I just want to attend a classic dance, basically. Yeah, those are my top 5 events. And this was like my brief wrap-up, or brief, it wasn't even a wrap-up, it was just me talking, blabbing on about season 1 of The Vampire Diaries. I was planning to get my partner to come on here, but he's been busy with work. He's out at work today as well. But I definitely will get him on for an episode in one of my season 1 wrap-up series, because obviously he has watched the show many times as well, and it's just fun, you know, recording together. I mean, daytime he's busy with work, and technically we could record at nighttime, but nighttime is our like binge watch session, if that makes sense. Like, nighttime, we, our ritual is eating dinner and just watching TV. That's why we're avid binge watchers. We binge watch for shows so quickly. So I don't really want to disrupt that time. Nighttime is like no work, no social media, just watching TV and spending time together. So, but I will get him on for a wrap-up episode. He did say he wants to come on as well. So scheduling-wise, next week we're going to talk about characters of season 1, so character developments. And then the episode after that, we're going to talk about ships, so relationships and deaths. But I don't know, I might put that into the character episode next week. That hasn't really been decided yet. After that, we have a music episode, so an episode dedicated to my favorite songs of season 1, because I think the music really plays a big part of the series too. After that, we have a fashion episode. And then after that, we have a final episode where I'm going to take some quizzes on season 1 Vampire Diaries to see what I get, and also talk about season 2 predictions. So I think that's the episode where I'd really like him to come on, because it'd be fun to do quizzes together. So that's the scheduling for now. So haven't decided which episodes are going to go when, or like if I'm going to combine some episodes, but this is basically just a brief overview of what we're going to get up to for the next few weeks. And so for about a month, this is the scheduling. So season 2, realistically, we're probably going to start from around October, I'd say. So we still have a good few weeks until then. So if you haven't already listened to all of my episodes covering each episode of season 1, I definitely appreciate it if you could go listen to them. And if you haven't listened to my bonus episodes, which I throw in here and there, I like to cover, you know, 80s vampire movies and popular cult vampire movies. Definitely go listen to them too, and maybe you can find some new media to watch, new films, new good films or TV shows to watch out of it. So really appreciate it. Really appreciate you for listening to this episode. My question of the day is, what are your favorite episodes / events of season 1? So you can either answer one or the other, or both. So if you're on Spotify, you can answer that in the Q&A section. If you're on Apple Podcasts or Amazon, you can email me, or you can DM me at the Mystic Podcast on Instagram. And if you haven't already, please rate our podcast. It really helps the algorithm. I really want to push out this podcast to more TVD fans. I'd love connecting with you all. Any feedback is much appreciated. So thank you so much for tuning in to the Mystic Podcast. I will see you next Sunday. Goodbye.